My sermon today kicks off a new sermon series by the same title, Seek the Welfare, which comes from today's scripture reading from Jeremiah. The prophet Jeremiah had sent some letters from Jerusalem to the Jewish exiles who had been taken to Babylon around 594 BC. And his letters make up our book of Jeremiah. Now, some people at the time were claiming that the exile wouldn't last very long, but Jeremiah recognized that it would stretch out for several generations, and therefore he counseled his people on how they should adapt to their new circumstances. And this is what lies at the heart of today's scripture passage. So if you have your Bible with you, I invite you to open to the 29th chapter of Jeremiah. I'll read verses 1 and then 4 through 11. Let's listen now for what God's Holy Spirit would have us learn. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let the prophets and the diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream. For it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, only when Babylon's 70 years are completed will I visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Amen. You know, God's plan for the church and for each of us is to be involved in the redemption of the world. We're not meant to be spectators who stand on the sidelines because the Lord wants us to participate in His work. Now, the Jewish people of Jeremiah's time had gone away from God's plans. The expectation was for them to live as godly people and to be a tangible expression of God's presence to the surrounding nations. But they had become concerned only with themselves. So God sent Jeremiah and other prophets to remind the people of Israel that they have a responsibility to their neighbors, especially to the most marginalized among them. Now, prophets like Jeremiah wanted the Jewish people to understand that their sin and their failure to uphold this responsibility had led to their exile in Babylon. This was a miserable time for them because their nation had ceased to exist. The glory years of Saul, David, and Solomon were all in the past. There was no more Israel. There was no more Judah. It was all gone. Having to live in Babylon was a painful experience because these Jewish exiles saw their new land as a place where God was not present. They believed Babylon was a God-forsaken place, and the Babylonians were a God-forsaken people. These exiles didn't want to be there. But Jeremiah wrote a letter to them reminding them that there's no place they can go where the hand of God cannot reach them. Jeremiah also wanted them to realize that there are no people beyond the reach of God. The Lord is working everywhere among all people, including the Babylonians, even if they couldn't see it. Now, it's for this reason that Jeremiah wanted the Jewish exiles to see Babylon with new eyes. He wanted them to shift their focus from punishment to purpose. Now, exile felt like punishment, and yet it was also a prime opportunity for the people of Israel to rediscover how they should live as godly people. Instead of complaining about their predicament, Jeremiah wanted his people to ask God why they had been placed where they were. Now, the Jewish people were in exile because God moved them into exile. And sometimes God takes drastic measures to remind us of what we are called to do. Sending the people of Israel off to Babylon was God's way of gaining their full attention. And Jeremiah wanted them to stay there until God made it clear that he wanted them somewhere else. In the meantime, he wanted them to be God's representatives to the Babylonians. But how would they do this in a culture that was so foreign from their own? And how should we live in a culture and a world that often seems so foreign to the ways of God? Now, there are a couple books that I would recommend you read on this subject. Richard Niebuhr has written a book called Christ in Culture. He suggested that we should understand Christ's relationship to culture in various ways, including Christ against culture, the Christ of culture, Christ above culture, Christ in culture in paradox, and Christ as the transformer of culture. Stanley Hauerwas and William Willimon offer a different perspective in a work called Resident Aliens. They argue that Christians should reclaim their status as resident aliens, which involves recognizing that we're part of a world that's not our ultimate home. And they say that our job is not to make the gospel credible to the world, but to make the world credible to the gospel. John Howard Yoder adds yet another perspective in a book called The Politics of Jesus. He invites us to see that while we live in this world, we're called to do the things Jesus did. Now, all three of these books in various ways invite us to consider how we might join in God's work, which requires us to first look for what God is doing. Now, this is, I think, what Jeremiah was after in his letter to the people of Israel. And he offered them some really practical advice. He didn't offer any theological speculation. He stayed away from cliches. And he didn't make any trite statements as a way of just trying to calm the anxiety of his people. Instead, he wanted the Jewish exiles to look at their situation with clear eyes and face some harsh facts. And that would require some adjustments. See, the Jewish people wished they still had the temple, but they didn't. They wished they still lived within the walls of Jerusalem, but they didn't. They wished they could still drink the wine from their own vineyards, but they couldn't. They wished they could sing their songs in Judah, but they couldn't. Life had dramatically changed for the people of Israel. Now, there were lots of things they wished for, but Jeremiah wanted his people to realize that God and not forsaken them. Even though they didn't have all those things they wished for, God had not forsaken them, and God had not forsaken the Babylonians either. But to grasp that reality, they would have to see their situation with fresh eyes. Jeremiah wanted his people to look beyond themselves by paying attention to their new neighbors and by seeking their welfare. In other words, he wanted them to see that they still have purpose while living in exile. And that was a hard adjustment for them to make. Now, initially, the Jewish people didn't want to lay down roots and invest in their new home. But going back to Jerusalem wasn't in the cards. Going home wouldn't happen for another 70 years. So Jeremiah instructed his people to build homes, get jobs, and have children in that order. You know, when a person or a family moves to a new city or even to a new country, finding adequate housing is an important first step. Now, most people have that arranged before they ever head out to their new destination because having a home, a place to reside, is extremely important. You need a place to reside. When Jeremiah told his people to build houses, he was doing something, though, that was more than just offering practical advice. He was reinforcing the message that three generations of families were going to live in Babylon. And in those houses that they would build, people would live and sleep and take care of their pets. They would pray and study scripture. And they would host friends and neighbors. After all, the home is a place where blessings can be shared. Jeremiah also wanted his people to secure employment and have children. The scripture tells us that he told them to plant gardens and to do some farming. He wanted them to make a living so that they could support themselves, which in turn would enable them to expand their families. And having kids was extremely important to the survival of Israel. As Jeremiah said in verse 6, multiply there and do not decrease. So building houses, getting jobs, and having children were a part of settling down. And yet the Jewish people still struggled to understand their purpose of being in Babylon. Now, I don't want to be critical of them because they were facing awfully hard circumstances. They were feeling displaced and disillusioned. Their world had been flipped upside down. But one of the lessons these Jewish exiles would learn is that they actually need the Babylonians. How else would they know where to build their houses or what crops to plant? They needed that kind of expertise that only the locals could give. And so the people of Israel would need to build friendships and form alliances with the Babylonians. That would require them to cross some social boundaries and to do things that they had never done before. Now, they initially saw the Babylonians as a God-forsaken people, but as they developed friendships with these new neighbors, I believe their attitude must have changed. Because when you meet people where they are, when you hear their stories, they become real flesh and blood humans to you, and your view of them changes. You know, relationships have a way of altering our views. Relationships change our view of God, our view of the community, and even our own view of ourselves. Jeremiah knew that if his people were going to be obedient to the way of God, to the way God was calling them to live, then they would have to build relationships with the Babylonians, which in turn would change the way they look at Babylon and its people. Now, another lesson Jeremiah wanted his people to learn is that after settling down in Babylon, they would need to become part of the fabric of the community. In other words, Babylon would need to fully become their home. You know, a big part of making a place a home involves seeking its prosperity. In verse 7, it says, "Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare." In effect, it's saying, if your host city prospers, then you will prosper. Therefore, pray for its success. Now, a similar message was shared many centuries later among Christians in the early church. The Apostle Peter wrote a letter to a group of believers who were struggling with their own exile. Many of them had left Palestine and had to make new homes in other places around the Mediterranean, including in cities like Rome. And you may remember that the Apostle John called Rome Babylon. Now, these believers living in their exile needed encouragement to remain obedient to God. And Peter responded by writing this letter. It's 1 Peter. In chapter 2, he says, "Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds." And that sounds a lot like Jeremiah's advice. It reminds us that the local church should be known in the community for its good deeds. It should be known as an asset that helps its city flourish. And we want the community to see us as adding value to this place where we live and work. And one of the ways we try to do this here at Forest Hills is by nurturing relationships with organizations that help Raleigh. Organizations like the Raleigh Rescue Mission, Welcome House, and Habitat for Humanity. Each of these groups in their own way is trying to help people prosper. They're working to bring about change and transformation. Now, sometimes when we pour ourselves into good work that aims to improve life and change situations, we see that things don't look like they're changing. And that can be discouraging to us. But let's remember that true transformation happens when we continue to do the things that God calls us to, even when the only thing changing is us. See, what really matters is our presence. Just showing up, being there, makes a difference. You doing the thing that God has called you to is what matters. It might be tutoring kids after school. It might be feeding the homeless. It might be visiting the sick. It might be helping out at work, offering care to a coworker. It might be writing letters to a prisoner. But you pour yourself into what God is leading you to do, even when the results aren't what you hoped. And even when that happens, don't lose heart, because it's your presence that really matters. You are being God's representative. You are being a blessing. You're incarnating the love of God. And when we do that, we become tangible expressions of God's presence. And that changes our homes, our neighborhoods, our communities, and our city, which in turn changes the world. That's why Jeremiah implores us to seek the welfare of the city where God has placed us. Jeremiah knew that if the Jewish exiles worked for the good of their pagan neighbors, then they all would prosper. And if we want our world to prosper, then we should do the same. You know, God has placed us in this city and in this church for a purpose. The Lord is calling us to look beyond ourselves by seeking the welfare of other people. My question for you is, whose welfare are you seeking? And how might you and how might our church be a tangible expression of God's presence to our community? Would you pray with me? Oh God, we celebrate the good news that no person and no place is forsaken by you. You love everyone and you invite us to live out your love right where we are. We're thankful that you give us purpose, that you call us to represent you to our world, which we do by seeking the welfare of others. Help us embrace that mission. Help us understand more deeply the importance of the church being a valuable asset to our community. As we strive to do so, we pray for your guidance and your direction. And we pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.